Hi, this is Jennifer Brady, and this is Drop Shot.
These are my last few hours here at Edgbaston, and I won't get the chance to see another match. But before I go, I have to level with you. You may have noticed me mention a press conference with Karolina Pliskova the day before her sisterly battle. But yet I didn't play anything from it. That's because I didn't have a recording of it. Now, it'd be really easy for me to blame the PA and say it was playing up again, but I can't. It was human error, and it was the second time I did it this week. I also did it with a Su Wei She press conference. I don't know what happened with that either. I normally get into the room early, plug in my setup, see the connection is working, then wait for the player. A quick check when they sit down, and then I hit record. Except twice, I apparently just didn't do it. I thought I did. I really thought I did. But in both cases, no recordings. I would love to blame something else, but I can't. It has to have been me. But I would say that without the mistakes, I would never have worked so hard to get a one-to-one with Shay. Oh, I have to say, I feel a whole lot better opening up to you. So thank you for listening. You are my therapy. I requested a one-to-one with Venus Williams, and I was told that she doesn't do such things. And then someone told me that she didn't give much away in her press conferences. Well, let's just see, shall we? Although I would say we have been waiting 20-odd minutes for her to show.
Hello.
OK, Venus, welcome to your first time here at Birmingham. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I think I dreamed long ago that you would, one of you would, your sisters would be here, so I'm really happy. OK, after your match today, this being your preparation for Wimbledon, how are you feeling and how much more do you feel you're going to have to do to sharpen up for the last end before Wimbledon starts?
Yeah, I thought today was a really strong start, actually. A pretty clean match, not a lot of errors, and my opponent played really, really well. So I know that everyone's going to play well here on out, and just to be able to play some matches and, you know, get my feet on the grass is a really good feeling.
Okay, good. In the area that you're in, not far down the road, we have what we call an inner city area. And I'm going to say to you, probably pretty much like, you know, young people that had that dream like you had and Serena had when you were growing, just please give me something that I could either take back or could, to share with those children from the inner city to have that dream of getting like that step further forward.
Yeah, the first part is having a dream. And then work for it. Don't be afraid. And to believe in yourself and surround yourself with people who are about something. So you can encourage them. They can encourage each other. And that's part of the success is having great people around you, because anyone who's done anything has never done it alone. Okay. So you don't have to do it alone, but you do have to be around good influences.
Thank you so much.
When you face an opponent that you've never played before, like Saznovich today, I was wondering whether you like to do some scouting ahead of time or whether you just like to go out there, play your game, and figure it out as you go along.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen her play a little bit before, not a lot. And I never saw her hit that hard. So today she really just came full steam ahead. And it is challenging to, you know, I haven't played a match in a few weeks, then to play against an opponent that you never played before and on a new surface. And I don't think anyone here has gotten that much time in the grass. So, you know, you kind of come out like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen today. I hope it's okay. And so I was pleased to have played a pretty clean match. And she really went for every shot. And when they were landing, some of them were just untouchable. So, you know, I had to be focused every single moment in that match, and so it was a great start and a great challenge.
Venus, it's 50 years since Birmingham's Ann Jones won Wimbledon. perfect timing for you to make your debut in a tournament here in this city.
So it's been 50 years since the start of this tournament, right?
50 years since Ann Jones won Wimbledon.
Ann Jones is from Birmingham.
Oh, well, she looks so young. I had no idea. I thought she
was very young when she won it.
I thought she was about 50, so she's looking good.
But perfect timing for you to make your first appearance here in her home city.
I know, it's a great anniversary, and that's amazing. I had no idea. So she's probably still hitting the ball well, for all I know. But, you know, it's my first time. I have not played a lot historically before Wimbledon, so this is very new for me and actually very exciting. And it's not often that I get to play in a new city in front of a new crowd. So it's pretty exhilarating, actually. And, you know, when you get a wild card, you're hopeful to do something with it, you know. So today I'm like, all right, I'd love to win this match and, you know, make some good use out of this entry.
You do play so few warm-up matches before Wimbledon on grass. So why did you choose Birmingham? And also, what was your reaction to the crowd's response to you? They seemed very warm and appreciative.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a great response. And even in the doubles, you know, a lot of people stayed, even though it was late and a little chilly. So that was heartwarming. And I think, you know, not everyone gets a chance to come to Birmingham because it's tough after the French Open and people live in different parts of the world. It's not always easy to get here. So I think that everyone here is grateful to see this lineup and see all the strong players here this week. And I hope that this tournament will continue to get this strong feel in the future.
You've just turned 39 this week.
Yeah.
You were giving, 14, 15 years of age to your opponent today, and yet you seem to make no problem at all of that.
Yeah, honestly, age is just a number. And as long as you're fit and doing the work, anything is possible. And honestly, it's just about wearing your sunscreen so that way you don't look like a raisin. And then I put mine on.
You seem genuinely taken aback by the warmth of the reception from all the kids afterwards getting your autograph.
Honestly, yes. It's exciting to see young people excited about tennis, so that makes me excited. And then since I've been here since Saturday or Sunday, I've seen a ton of young people here, and they're really into the game, and they're really into the players. So I love this sport. It's given so much to me, and I like seeing young people having that opportunity to be able to grow from tennis. So it is exciting.
Hi, Vince. I was reading up a little bit about you, and I understand you're a big fan of karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if you could tell me, what was your show-stopping song that you do? And two, have you got a song that would sum up your remarkable career?
Oh, my. Number two is pretty hard. I don't have one. That you put me on the spot. But I was talking to my physio today, and she said she read somewhere that singing creates these amazing endorphins, and I said I can attest to that. I don't have a karaoke song because I do a new song every time, so it's hit or miss, and either I know I can sing that song or I know never to do it again. So I kind of always put my best foot forward. That's my mom's song. Yeah, my mom is a great singer, actually. She has an amazing voice, natural talent. And I tend not to do Gloria Gaynor. Is that Gloria Gaynor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Okay. I like that other. Did she do the other song? I Feel Love. Is that the one she
did?
Donna Summer.
Yeah.
That's not my era.
Can I just ask you something slightly removed? How do you balance your time between your tennis career and your outside interests, like your interior design company?
Mm-hmm. I mean, some days I have a lot of energy and some days I don't, but I have a great team, and it's not always easy to be the leader. And I do my best, and they give a lot to me, and I try to give as much as I can to them.
And have you learned any lessons on the tennis court that you've taken into your business world?
Absolutely, and vice versa. And I make mistakes all the time, but I learn from them. And you can't always see the mistake, but I do evaluate everything that I do and think about, oh, I could have done this better, and that's on and off the court, and try to be my best.
And do you have a go-to designer that you really like interior-wise at the moment? like right a chair now, designer? Or
right now, it's always changing because there's always a new inspiration. My what I love most of all are textiles. I absolutely love them. So that's my real love. And yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was such a shame that we couldn't continue the conversation about design. It was just getting interesting. And I have to say, I found Williams utterly engaging. Maybe one day we will get a sit down together. This is turning into my lucky day, as I've now got a one-to-one with American player Jennifer Brady. Excellent.
I've only got four letters in my name, C-E-R-I, but it causes confusion everywhere. Yes. I could get called Cherry, Seri, Cerise.
Sure.
Cerise is my latest one.
Yeah, I've been called Brandy and Bradley, and my last name's Brady, so don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, what is wrong with people? I mean, there are certain names you go, okay, I've got a 60-40 chance of getting this wrong or right, but names like Brady and Kerry surely should be. Anyway, I just want to check for level. So if you could just let me know what you had for breakfast.
I had toast with peanut butter.
Okay, is that a regular occurrence?
No, not necessarily. It's just something I was feeling when I woke up.
Fair enough. You see, you don't go for the full English now you're over here.
No, I'm not a fan of the full English, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry that so many of us are, actually. I don't think it does us any good whatsoever. Anyway, congratulations today. How's the grass court season been for you? Because I keep missing you everywhere, or things have happened. Surbiton, you started off against Katie McNally. Then Nottingham was a tough week, and now you're here. How's it been going for you? I mean, how did you feel about the first week, say, in Surbiton?
First round match, I played Katie McNally. You know, she's one of the up-and-coming junior American players. I feel like she played a good match. You know, it wasn't the best match for me, but, you know, I think it was, you know, not terrible for the first grass court match. You know, got the cobwebs out. But from that match, I feel like I've just kind of, you know, just been kind of rolling with it and, you know, only played one match in Nottingham. Luckily, it was three sets, so I got more play and, yeah, and then played full match today.
Yeah, you had a pretty torturous time in Nottingham. How do you cope with that? Just waiting days on end to find out if you play outdoors and then you find you're indoors and then you're playing twice in a day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't control the weather. You know, it was unfortunate for the tournament that, you know, they didn't get to, you know, the fans didn't get to see more play outside on the grass. But, you know, luckily enough, they were able to play the semifinals and the finals out on the grass. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's something, you know, it's part of it. You know, it goes along with the job. And yeah, I mean, I feel like most of us coped with it pretty well.
And what do you do in all that downtime? Do you relax, listen to music, hang out, try and switch off from tennis?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends. If you're playing, you know, first, second on, you're usually on site. But, you know, if you're later on, then, you know, one day I went back to the hotel after and, you know, just hung out there and then eventually went back to the site and then got canceled. But, yeah, most of the time, you know, usually there on site, just hanging out, you know, had some friends there also that were playing and, you know, we were just, you know, chilling out, waiting to play.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of waiting, and it's been the story of this summer, actually. There's been a lot more waiting than usual, so it must be nice. In a way, is it nice sometimes to see your name first on court?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm one of the people who, if I'm first on, I'm pretty happy, because, you know, I just go warm up and then, you know, change, and then I'm out on court playing, you know, and I know when I'm going on and all that. So, yeah, that's good, but like I said, you can't control it, and, yeah, it's good.
Is mentality 90% of how your game goes? Is that an important part to you?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, if you're not in the right mindset, you know, how you won't give yourself the best opportunity at, you know, at winning or, you know, competing. And, you know, just having the right mindset, you know, whether things are going your way or not going your way, I feel like is huge.
And would you say, I thought I overheard you in another interview saying that you've changed your mindset from last year. And what was it last year and what is it now?
It's more of, like a different mental approach to every day, to practices, to matches, things like that. But it's more like in the practice, just knowing that the things that I do in the practice translate into the matches. So I feel like, in all my practice sessions, I working hard to be as mentally engaged as possible, because knowing that what I do on the practice court translates onto the match court.
And it seems to be working for you this summer.
Yeah, so far so good. So we'll see.
Do you set yourself goals or aims before the start of the summer, before coming over here, or do you just live in the present and see how you go?
I just live in the present. I'm not someone who really... I mean, of course, I set mini goals for myself, but not necessarily result-wise. Yeah, just try to take it one match at a time and just focus on the present.
And we've got a young British player called Paul Jubb, who's going through the American college system at the moment. Now, you went through the college system. How useful is that for a player, and how did it serve you, and what can he get out of it?
Yeah, I actually watched him play in Surbiton, and then I saw him in Nottingham. I saw that he won the NCAA's individual title, which is huge. I mean, me playing at UCLA, we won the team national title my freshman year, but, I was never able to really go far in the individuals, which, I have huge respect to, each person who, wins. I think everybody's different. I think he's just completed his junior year, I believe, I think college is a good learning experience for people to develop mentally and even physically, Hopefully he, continues to develop and, gets better.
What do you do to relax? Do you listen to music? Do you read? What is it that keeps you occupied away from the tennis court?
Yeah, I would say I do a mixture of all of those things. Just kind of hang out. Honestly, I don't really know. I just kind of let time pass and watch some TV and, just chill out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Time for a Joe Konta presser. Plus, she's brought a special guest with her.
Okay. This is Bono, guys. Bono.
Bono.
Yeah, so this is the puppy that I gush about all the time, so I thought it would be good if you guys actually met him. But now I let him roam around, but I just thought you guys should just see him.
Oh, hello. Hello. It's difficult to handle Ostapenko when she's seeing the ball like that. What were some of the challenges that you had today?
I mean, whenever she plays at her best level, she's very, very hard to play, and I think she showed that today. It's quite frustrating to be on the court against her, because it definitely felt like any mistake I made had a bigger consequence, just because I had so few opportunities in the match and so few little windows to try and build any momentum or string points together. But I knew going into the match that there was going to be every possibility that she was going to be playing like this. And actually, I almost expected it, because there's no reason why she can't play freely. And then when she plays freely, she plays very well. So, I still thought I did actually quite a lot of good things out there. Just didn't get an opportunity to do too much more.
So while she's running around catching butterflies at the back of the court, like you say, if you make one mistake, it seems amplified. Is that what you mean?
What do you mean, catching butterflies?
Oh, just because she just, like you say, hits freely and just does.
Oh, okay.
But like you said, a mistake, do you feel it's amplified when she's playing like that?
Well, I think when any player is putting a lot of pressure on you in the way they're playing, and when they're playing very well, you get very few opportunities in the points or in the games to try to dictate or try to just get a foot up and get into the match, and that's basically it. So when you don't have many opportunities and you make a mistake, it sometimes feels like it's worth more than it is, just because of the few opportunities that are coming by. That's it.
I mean, I, after that first game, you really didn't have many. How frustrating is it those four break points came and went in that first game?
I mean, I don't think the first game decided anything of the match. I think she hit three winners after that, a great first serve. So there's not much to say on that. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong, really.
And then in the second set, I mean, when you broke back, you must have thought you finally made a breakthrough, and then she came straight back at you. I mean, obviously she was playing really well today, but, I mean, you've taken some positives from it, but what do you feel let you down today?
Nothing really, to be honest. I lost to the better player. I did the best that I could in trying to find a way to disrupt her rhythm, to get her out of her clean striking zone, because she was in that zone. It was very obvious, I think, to everybody. So, to be honest, there's not much I could have done differently.
Oh, good afternoon. Tough to talk straight after a loss, but, you know, this is you coming off the clay season. So do you think that has had an impact, that change of surface so quickly? Did you find that, like, any way difficult?
I mean, it's always an adjustment period and an adjustment process when you go very quickly from one surface to the other, but that's the nature of this part of the season. Every player is pretty much in the same boat. Obviously, some of the girls who played in Nottingham, however, they mainly played on indoor hard, bless them, because of the weather. So,
yeah.
I mean, of course, I'd like to think that come end of next week or beginning of Wimbledon, I will be that much more comfortable on the grass in the way I'm playing and also the way I'm moving. But in saying that, I actually thought I was moving and doing quite well. I mean, it's, I think, maybe my fifth day on the grass. It's my second match on the grass. So I can definitely take a lot more good things than not from this.
Okay, so what will you do now going to Wimbledon? Will you go up there and start hitting her early, or...?
No, I'm going down to Eastbourne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now I'm going to Eastbourne.
When you lose to a player that's playing that well, is that the kind of loss that doesn't really affect your confidence, because you know that you couldn't have done much more to affect the outcome?
I mean, I don't think losing any match should really affect anyone's confidence that much. I mean, and I definitely work very hard for it not to affect mine. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's a tennis match. So I went in knowing expecting for my opponent to play well, which she did, and I was clear on what I wanted to do out there, what I tried to do out there, which I did. I didn't always get the opportunity to execute it. A few times was because I made a mistake, but most of the time was because my opponent played very well. So, there was maybe a few points where I could have maybe just made that ball. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, mistakes are part of tennis, and I could not judge myself too harshly on missing a couple balls when my opponent's playing as well as she did.
What's the best thing about playing in Eastbourne?
There's a lot of great things, to be honest. I mean, for me personally, I get to spend some time with mum and dad. So that's probably my favourite part. But the grass there is beautiful. There's always a lot of crowds, so I know the crowds really enjoy it down there. That's probably the best part.
So do your parents kind of spoil you when you come home to get nice home-cooked food, or how does it work?
They do. I mean, they're still working, so it's within reason. they always like having me home.
How do you balance your schedule at this time of year? Because obviously you want to max out your grass court preparation and support all the British tournaments. You usually play all three, but at the same time you want to go into Wimbledon relatively fresh. And this year, obviously, the French Open success meant that Nottingham fell by the wayside.
That's me not playing Nottingham is part of that management. I really would have loved to have played Nottingham. It's literally one of my favourite tournaments. However, coming off not just the French, but the few weeks before that, I played a lot of matches in the last month and a half. So I took that week away just to give myself a little bit of time. But with the nature of this part of the season, you have very little time to play with. So I'm taking it a match at a time, a tournament at a time, and I mean, I only played two matches here, so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a few more in Eastbourne and then looking forward to Wimbledon.
after a loss, like, mental health is like a really important thing to obtain. So what do you do to make sure you've got a healthy mind?
I just look at my dog. I mainly look at my dog. I mean, you guys saw him. I mean, you know, I mean, I think anyone who's struggling, just take a look at that face and you're probably going to do a little better. I mean, keeping a good perspective, to be honest. I think, just keeping things in perspective. I'm healthy. Again, at the end of the day, this was just a tennis match, which I didn't end up winning. But even if I would have won it, it shouldn't be the be-all, end-all. So, yeah. No, he really likes carpet. Sorry. You can probably hear him, like, rolling around back there. He loves carpet because we don't have carpet at home. So, yeah. So, yeah, no, he loves carpet. 10 months. Yeah, now he's a pup.
Bono certainly stole the show. So, so cute. And on that nice note, it's time to leave Edgbaston and head home and prepare for my next tournament, which will be held at the delightful Devonshire Park Lawn Tennis Club in the seaside location of Eastbourne. Birmingham has been a great host, and even though there have been a few problems along the way, I've enjoyed my time here. If you get the chance, this is an event that's well worth visiting. Right, better find my bucket and spade as soon as I get in. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series. And when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster. And Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.